I'm Megan Bennett.
I'm Leslie Meyer.
And this is Gen X Women Are Sick of This Shit. Hey, Leslie.
Hi, Megan.
How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. Awesome. I've been, unsurprisingly, sweating since we've been here in the studio.
Well, there's lights.
And
it's July now.
It is July now. We are recording currently in July. Mm-hmm. It's just as hot as it was when we were recording in June, if not hotter.
Yep. And the hot flashes are still happening.
Still flashing. Did not stop in between last time and this time. All right. Old news.
Old news. What's new news? What are you, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, you may have noticed when you walked in today that the studio smells quite citrusy and delightful.
It does. It smells really pretty in here.
Adding to the heat is a candle. And that is not for no reason whatsoever. I decided to create like a mood with some immersive scents.
Okay.
Because part of our conversation later in the episode today is going to be all about Disney.
And
very immersive environments are something that I think Disney does extremely well.
I would agree.
Including, of course, sights, sounds, and smells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This smells great. It's very, it's a little orangey. It's a little, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good.
It is called Healing Potion. It's actually a D&D candle making company called Cantrip Candles out in California. They are not a sponsor. This is not an ad. They just make the most fantastic candles that are scented for different environments. And we needed a little healing today just because it brings me joy. But we have other ones that are like Thieves Den and...
Ooh, that sounds like it would be
there's
stinky.
There's like the Forest of the Fae and there's a bakery one. I mean, they're just really cool.
Very cool.
So as we play our game, I will like literally blow these out and light new ones so that it smells right.
Okay, so like as you travel along
yes.
in the game,
in
now
our
you are in the Thieves' Den, mm-hmm. you have to have a candle to make you...
So you get...
I love that.
A Disney-esque immersive experience when you're playing D&D at my house. So there you go.
I love
That's the bullshit
That's
of
the
day.
I like it. And it smells fantastic.
It.
So which one is this? This is...
Healing Potion.
Healing Potion. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
It's pretty spicy. I don't know. Maybe they'll hear this at some point and they'll think, that's cool. We should sponsor that podcast.
I hope they do.
I hope so, too. Thanks. Regardless, amazing. Good
yeah,
humans.
Very, very cool.
So I do love that. What's the gossip of the day, girl?
Gossip of the day. So I have just been, just a couple days ago, some news popping about one of my favorite shows that I was arguably very late to the game to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had to binge three probably seasons, but Stranger Things.
Ugh.
I didn't pick it up immediately. I
love Stranger Things.
Good God, when I did,
yes.
I was all in. And
yes.
my daughter was totally right. She's like, Mom, you're going to love this show.
Oh, that's so good.
And I'm like, holy shit, I love this show.
Yeah, it was awesome. It has everything great about the 80s, period.
Yeah.
I mean, just the malls, the clothes, Dungeons and Dragons. Hello.
Oh, my God. And it's so well written that it feels, I mean, it really is just a big smack in the face about being back in the 80s.
Yes.
It's not, it doesn't like... gloss over anything. It doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just like totally tubular, you know, stuff.
Right.
It's like, it is absolutely how people talked and walked and mm-hmm. dressed and all the things. It's so good.
Roller rinks, cars,
yeah.
clothes,
music, all the things.
Yep, the music, bike gangs, you know, just that sort of middle school, high school, adolescent summer, being able to ride your bike all around your neighborhood.
Jean jackets,
parents
pins on your jean
yes,
jackets.
Yes, absolutely.
Know. Oh, Eddie.
No adult ever knew where anybody was.
Bicycles everywhere.
Yes.
Riding your bikes everywhere. Oh, it's such a great show. And
I
want to go back and watch the whole thing again. But mm-hmm. apparently they are much further along in production. They have kind of hit the halfway point now of production. So season 5 will happen,
ooh.
Hopefully, before too terribly long. It's been, I feel like those kids, we were kind of joking about this, like
mm-hmm.
those kids are going to be not kids anymore.
Right.
By the time this comes out, but I'm just so stoked about seeing this show again. Mm-hmm. And I know we have to wait. I think it's going to be probably the end of 2025 before we get to see it. But at least it feels like it's coming.
It is getting closer. And there have been some interesting things to kind of come out of the Stranger Things universe. Speaking of Dungeons & Dragons, there's actually a whole module that is based on Stranger Things that we own. We have not played through yet, but that exists. That might be a fun thing for us to
do.
We should do that one.
We should.
That'll be what we
play.
And
I will wear my Hellfire Club shirt that I bought.
Hell, yes. Yeah. R.I.P. Eddie.
No, he's back. I swear he's going to be back. I don't know this for a fact. But
this
my
is the gossip
is,
part. This is my gossip.
My gossip is I am, because I refuse to think otherwise, I feel like the whole Masters of Puppets thing. Oh, by the way, spoiler alert. If you have not seen episode four, you might not want to listen to this. But if you haven't seen episode four or season four, where have you been? Because it's
truth.
So good. So when we lose Eddie in episode four, he's playing Master of Puppets. And so my theory is that he's actually like, he'll come back. Like he will come back maybe as the big bads, like, I don't know.
I think that's a great idea. Know. We should just send that to them. BT Dubs, please.
Please bring back Eddie. I think they get letters like that all the time.
I know. I have this great idea. You guys, you really, let me tell you how to run your business.
You've probably not heard this from anybody else.
I don't
else.
Think so. Nope, not at
please
all.
Please bring back Eddie.
There you go. I was doing the googs while we were talking about this. Mm-hmm. And I actually found that there is a Stranger Things play that is a prequel to the show. It is in the West End in London right now. And
really?
It is set in 1959.
Oh, so this would be like the, wow.
It's before. The Creel family arrived in the seemingly normal Midwestern town of Hawkins, Indiana, for a fresh start. The year was 1959. 24 years later, a boy vanishes into thin air. His close-knit group of friends and family search for answers, blah, 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 blah. We all know this. But it is like the flashback of all of that information.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's canon.
Okay.
To the Stranger Things universe, a prequel to the TV show Stranger Things, The First Shadow.
Ooh.
At the Phoenix Theater in London. StrangerThingsOnStage.com if you want more information. But, you know, you've got the internet. You can just give it a googs.
And I will say, if anybody is listening to this and you have seen the show, I want to know how it is.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, that'd be really great.
I kind of want to go to London to get a Stranger Things fix.
And you found something really cool that had happened in London too.
Yeah, they did
related to Stranger Things.
Yeah, they did in London they did a full Stranger Things immersion experience, and I think it closed now, which is a bummer. But they did a bunch of really cool art installations across London to point people to this event. I wish I could have seen it.
That would have been so cool. Yeah. You know what I want to know, Megan?
I want to know what you want to know.
I want to know what shit we are sick of this week.
So, in thinking about this a little bit, because, you know, we're sick of a lot of things, just in general. And this is
tick, 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 going down
tick,
the list.
A laundry list. One of the things that keeps coming up in the Facebook group, Gen X Women Are Sick of Your Shit, is this kind of general feeling of loneliness and the general feeling that finding and making new friends after, you know, 45, after 50, whatever, after your kids have flown the coop, you know, all the things, is just really hard. And I think people are kind of just generally sick of being alone or loneliness or not having anybody to really bullshit with, right?
Agreed. It's interesting that we were actually, because we were talking about Stranger Things, there are lots of things popping in my brain. just the organic way in which you make friends as a young person, whether you're in school or just in your neighborhood or through shared activities.
Yeah.
And that as we age, we move through some of those things, but we lose a lot of those opportunities to make friends sort of organically. And because of work, I think we get more insulated and isolated. And now with many people even working from home.
Oh, that made it
for
much
certain
worse.
Industries and certain careers, not everyone has that opportunity. But for those who do, like, we see even less of people.
Right.
And picking up a hobby post 50, you know, there people talk about this. Well, what do I do? How do I make friends? And our suggestions are like, get on the internet, start a hobby. And for some folks, like, that could be really anxiety provoking.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Walking into a room the first time where you don't know anybody,
takes
that's
so
hard.
Much bravery just to do that, and resources of like time and transportation and money. And I, you know, it's not always possible, but it is something that we hear, I think, loud and clear in the group, and something that we collectively are actively working on maybe providing a little solution for in a safe way.
Right. And that's the key. It has to be safe, because when you're talking about the internet, it just there was a story of a woman in the group who her mom actually has now been catfished, it looks like, by somebody. And it's all, I mean, the internet is full of that stuff.
It is,
and it
the world
scares,
wide web.
Right. It scares the shit out of me. So I don't, I want to make sure that whatever we do, it's going to be as safe as we can make it.
Because the layers of complexity and the layers of deception, like the way that you can hide your persona behind a digital one.
Yeah, not cool.
We have to be kind of savvy about that. And in some ways, the opportunities for deception grow faster than our ability to imagine them and then vet through them. Does that make any sense? Like, it gets, it just moves faster than I would imagine to research.
Oh,
it's
there's
like,
it
wouldn't occur to me that people could hide themselves in that particular way. But now we have to deal with that.
Oh, yeah. Like, and the criminals, the bad actors are always going to come up with the the solutions faster than we can
fix that's it. That's so true.
Yeah. So I think it's exciting. I'm excited about trying to come up with a way to at least provide a little more connection for folks, and maybe they can make new, you know, besties. And we talked about this too. Like, if we can do something safe and fun online first and do it in a virtual way, then who knows? I mean, if we want to, we can always do in-person stuff later.
Yeah, we have talked really about that a little bit, how we could organize in-person events, maybe just like sponsoring them. If there are hosts in different cities that we get to know through the community that we are building, then we could send out t-shirts and stickers and give ideas for things that you can do to get together to spend time and meet people. One thing I do know is that as we age, community and friendship, those are two things that are very sustaining. They're important for our mental health. They're important for our physical health. And they give us a sense of hope and connection, which is really necessary.
Yeah. I mean, you have to have – you've got to, it's really important to have people in your lives. And it's very hard to find them. It's very hard to make new friends. But even something as seemingly as kind of ridiculous as you've got to go get a colonoscopy. And if you go to get a colonoscopy, somebody has to drive you to get the colonoscopy.
Yes.
And you can't have – your Uber driver being your, you know, your driver for your colonoscopy. You have to have somebody who is willing to sit there and pick up the little yellow envelope when you're done and make sure you get home safely.
Send you home with all of your pictures and maybe buy you some lunch after you've starved yourself for 24 hours.
You aren't going to remember that. You're going
to. Oh, no. I don't remember. I was going to say, I don't remember shit. Ba-dum-bum. I don't. I mean, like, I had a whole conversation that was relayed to me by my partner And I asked the same questions at each time, and I got the same answers each time, and I have very little memory to none of any of that.
Yeah, you have to be the person to, you've got to have friends to help you with that, because you don't want to be asking your Uber driver 600 times, like,
no. So there you go.
Something very
If nothing personal. Else, we hope to provide you colonoscopy connections so you can get a ride home from the hospital from a trusted
That's the whole point.
Golden Girls companion. We're going to Golden Girls this shit. We're going to have a little retirement community.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Gen X women are sick of your shit. The retirement home.
Hard, Leslie.
It is hard. It's sometimes boring. It's really repetitive and mundane. I'm thinking about things like laundry and dishes and driving to and from work.
Grocery shopping.
Oh,
filling your car up at the gas station.
Yes. None of these things are magical.
No.
And then it's hard because hard things are happening.
Yep.
All across the planet.
Slogging, getting up, slogging to work.
Yep.
Doing the things.
And.
Yawner. And even if you love your job, it's still a slog. It still is like.
It is
the same
slog.
Crap all the time.
And, you know, money comes and goes. I mean, life, it's just hard. People die. We lose relationships. We gain relationships. We go through menopause. We lose friends. We gain friends. And I think at the end of the day, sometimes people just want a little bit of fun.
Yep.
Maybe a little magic.
A little magic.
Like whether that's an RPG.
Right.
An immersive role-playing game with candles that smell like the environment that you're traveling through.
Exactly.
Or an immersive environment like Disney. Created Walt Disney created for all of us to enjoy way back in 1955.
Disneyland. I think that's absolutely true, and I think maybe it's even it can be addictive, right? And you get the people who go all the time because and I'm probably guilty of that. And I think that's a big reason why. It's an escapism. It's a way to just kind of get out of your own space and your own place for a little while and go be someplace else where there's lots of magic, and you can either be a kid again or a kid finally or whatever.
Yes, and absolutely. You know, we talk about this in the group. Lots of people talk about missing out on parts of childhood, or maybe even realizing they didn't get to fully have a childhood because they had to grow up really quick. They had to handle hard things for their family, or maybe their families weren't able to care for them in the way that they needed to be cared for. And Disney can provide sort of a respite from that.
Yeah.
We can go back in time. It is also insistent on play.
Right.
Which is vital to living a full life. We have to play, whether we're playing board games, we just
video
get
games,
out in nature,
doing puzzles,
go
doing,
for walks, play outside with adults, playing games, you know, like
you have to play
like table tennis is what popped into my head.
Table tennis,
you know, that's the vital game of
pickleball.
Table tennis.
Anybody?
There you go.
No, I and play like Disney. Right, Disney is the absolute. It's a playground. It's a big, giant playground. Yep. One of my first memories of going to Disney was my grandparents on my dad's side lived in Florida. And so we would go down there a lot.
Okay.
And I am just a few months older than Disney World itself.
Okay.
Which is wild to think. But I remember very vividly, I think my first trip, I was probably like two, maybe three, maybe. And my grandfather was with me, and Chip and Dale took his hat and then played keep away from my grandfather with his hat, which was so freaking cute. And like, just as a kid, you're like, oh, can you do that?
Yes.
Can you take a grown man's hat?
Yes. Oh. Breaking the fourth wall.
Right.
And engaging. I guess we should speak to that a little bit too. Like, we're theater kids.
Right.
We both went to school for theater at some point in our lives and continued acting. And so there is that element of like getting to perform or participate in a performance while we are there. And the novelty of just that experience is so important. And the Disney World and Disneyland of our childhoods is vastly different than the Disney of today.
Yeah, it is.
We recognize that the Disney of today costs $47 million.
Yes.
Like, you could mortgage your house to go on a big, long trip with people.
There are no discounts. There are no sales. There are no days without crowds. There are no...
Absolutely.
It's very hard.
And it was very, very different when, like, my grandmother went when it opened. You know, much more affordably priced.
Yeah, for sure.
So we recognize that in this conversation that not everybody gets the opportunity.
Well, I am looking at right now, I have a 1974 information guide from Walt Disney World that I found at a paper show of some sort ages ago and kept
That's
it.
That's so cool.
It's so cool. But it does talk about... a guided tour, so you could get a guided tour includes use of Disney World transportation, admission to the Magic Kingdom, an approximate 3-hour walking tour of the Magic Kingdom with a knowledgeable guide. The guide tour is highlighted by visits to 5 attractions, with guests receiving 2 additional coupons for attractions of their choice, and it costs adults $7.50 and kids 3 to 11 $4.50.
Wow.
I know, right? So
wow,
that is not what things cost today.
No.
By like a lot. So, but yeah, oh, so 1974, gosh, you could do a guided tour in Disney for $7.50 and get to ride rides.
I fully remember going to movies in high school. So I was probably 80. Oh my gosh, would have been like 87, 88, 89, 90 in there, and paying $3.25.
Oh, I remember that too. Yeah.
And it was maybe 15 years after this.
Right.
I mean,
I know. Yeah.
So the inflation in those first 15 years was not what it is.
Not that much.
Nowadays.
Right.
So that's crazy.
I know. I thought that was great.
And the fact that the whole park can be summarized in this little, like, 20-page paper pamphlet is pretty miraculous.
Yeah. I mean, and well, it opened with not nearly the attractions that are there now.
Sure, of course.
And in this guide, it even has like a little space where you can see Space Mountain future attraction in the map. So that wasn't even open yet. So, but this is really a fun, if you get a chance to find one of these in an antique shop or something and you are a Disney person, it's a good thing to have just to, you know, jog some memories and see where things were back in the day. So, and I have a little coupon book too with the actual tickets for the different rides.
Oh, so the rides were individually like little pull tab tickets.
Yep. So they were pulled individually ticketed. Yep. And you got X number of, A rides and X number of B rides and things like that. So
it's just like going to an, like, it's not at all like this, but it's funny. Like the parking lot. Like amusement parks that pop up overnight.
Yes. God, yeah.
Where you have to have, like, you go and buy tickets at the booth or like the state fair and you go to just.
Yep. You get that, 5 A tickets or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Except the bolts fall out of those and
you might die. It's okay.
You might die.
You might die in that parking lot, right?
Yeah.
I think my core memory of Disney, if I don't go too deep into everything, was we went the year Epcot opened in 82, and we went in 83. I can't remember, somewhere in there. I'll find the truth in a second. And going, we called it the Epcot, but going into the giant ball.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, that like ride through history.
Communication ride.
Yes. That was the coolest thing because I loved science,
uh-huh,
and history and emerging technology. And that just like made my brain explode. So yeah, as a young person, that's like a core memory, going there, even more so than going to Magic Kingdom.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Well, that was probably the first yeah, park you walked into, right? I think
so. Yeah, absolutely. So
everybody wanted to go to the brand new shiny one.
Yes.
When it
sticks there.
And then in 2008, mm-hmm, that ride got a complete makeover, and that's mm-hmm when it got denched.
It got denched. So, You've been denched.
So
Dame,
yeah,
Judy Dench.
Dame Judy Dench now does the communication ride.
It's so cool. And you can select your language.
Yeah. Oh, when you ride. Yeah. Because you get the little screen on mm-hmm your back of your car, and you can. Yeah. It's like you are playing along with it and creating your own future. Mm-hmm. Oh, so fun. Yeah. Have you done the drinking around the world thing in Epcot?
So a little bit of that.
Okay.
Yes. I didn't do the thing on purpose. Like, I didn't know there was a drinking around the world. My God, I'm punching my microphone. Very enthusiastic about this. But we did go and started in England,
uh-huh,
with a cider.
Yeah.
And then went that-a-way.
Okay.
So around the loop and ended in Mexico, which okay may have been to our doom. Mm-hmm. But so we went through, we did stop, we got something to drink in Germany, Italy, France. Maybe that was all that we did. Germany,
a little
Italy,
sake
and
in
France.
Japan.
I don't think we stopped there that time because we did like a flight in France and a flight in Italy.
Oh, okay.
Because we were tasting mm-hmm lots of things, mm-hmm, and then ended in Mexico with some of the very best tequila I've ever had.
Yeah. Oh, that place in the yes pyramid downstairs. Yep. It's good. They've got great
so
stuff.
So delicious. So now that we know that there is a...
You get your passport.
We could do a rober romp.
Oh,
in,
ooh, tempting.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Around Epcot.
Yeah, I always have to
do that in the future.
I always have to get a cider in England. I've mm-hmm got to get, or in
the
Rose
and
UK
Crown.
Rose and Crown. Yeah, okay. I've got to get a UK cider in black.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And it's so funny. I just walk up to the pub every time, and I'm like, cider in black. I get it. It seems like there's always a millennial kid standing next to me, and they're always pouring over the menu trying to figure out what it is they should order, because mm-hmm they've got, you know, they've got shanties and they've mm-hmm got all the things mm-hmm like in there, and I just walk up and order it, and it happened twice this last trip where people were like, is that any good? And I'm like, well, I wouldn't order it if it wasn't.
I actually,
but
it tastes
yes
like shit, but I'm
but
ordering it
yes
just because I want you to ask me that question. And then I'm going
weird
to make you drink a shitty
right
drink.
Right.
No, this
I'm
is my Gen X
I'm going
plan
to spend $13 on this drink. It right is absolutely terrible.
Because it tastes disgusting.
But yeah, but
we don't,
you know,
really
they don't know.
Things.
They don't
no
know.
Absolutely.
So it was like me trying to, I was like, yes, it's very good if you like, you know, if you like ciders. Well, I don't know if I like ciders. Well, do you like beer? Well, no, I don't. Then you probably will like cider. So,
yeah,
so
it's apple-y.
Here you go. Right.
It's 100% so, more apple-y.
Yep. So I have to always get one of those. And then I get myself to France and have to have some sort of champagne something or other.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest
just
is kind of
a champagne something
and
or
the
other
rest is a blur, you know. And then I get to Morocco and I'm like, I don't even know where I am.
Oh, I love yeah Morocco.
Yeah, it's great.
I think we should go there sometime.
I think next year we should be there. What
we
do you
should
think?
We should be
we'll
there.
We'll do a podcast from Disney.
Oh, that's a way to arrange a meetup. Oh, well, that's true. I mean, tons of people will be living
heck
there.
Yeah,
that's
why not?
Fine. For us, it feels distant and exotic because we're in the Midwest. For people that live nearby, less distant, less
right
exotic.
Just drive right over.
Just in their backyard,
yeah,
like Kings Island.
Right, right. But way cooler. Okay, so Leslie, we talked a little bit about Epcot. Talked a little bit
drinking
about
around the world.
Drinking around the world.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite park? I guess I'm just talking about Magic, about Walt Disney World, because
okay, not Disneyland.
Disneyland, gotcha. Obviously. I mean, I suppose like been paradise
one time. And you really only have two things to pick from. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's that too. What I love so much is that you like to ask me questions about favorites and they make my brain explode because I am such a like, I want all the things. Yeah. If you're like, do you want chocolate or caramel or strawberry? I'm like, would like all them. Three. I would like that.
Yeah.
Yes, please and thank you. So I'm going to.
You have one day. Answer. How about this? You've got one day.
One day.
And you have to.
Pick one.
Pick a park. One day, one park pass.
Oh, I'm ripped in shreds.
I know, it's really hard.
Okay, so I will say, off the top of my head, spontaneously, I would say Epcot.
Okay.
For one day. And I will follow that up with, I had no idea how much I would love Magic Kingdom. Ah. In my mind, that was like for kids, something we wouldn't want to do, I wouldn't want to do that much of. And I was astonished, going back as an adult, I think I anticipated kind of like Epcot being the thing. Mm-hmm. And when we walked in that first day, even as excited as we were for just like a vacation for lots of reasons, personal reasons that we were like going at that time, I was shocked at just like what happened in my nervous system and just the delight that came up and seeing the castle. Yeah. And appreciating the theatricality of all of it, just the complete immersion, which we've talked about, of the experience.
Yeah.
All the little details. It was magic.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest that I can get in a like human created space. Like,
I'm glad there's you a had different that
kind of magic that happens like in the woods or, you know, sure. Seeing the Grand Canyon or something like those awe-inspiring places. And this was magic.
Yeah. I'm so glad you had that experience because it can be for a lot of people, they go, especially when they're older. Mm-hmm. If you go the first time and you didn't go as a kid, mm-hmm. it can be not magical. You know, sure. It's hot. It's very people-y.
Lots of people, very people-y.
Super people-y.
And I don't like a lot of people-y, but I know yep. what's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
I expect that there will be other beings there, mm-hmm. and I plan accordingly.
Yeah. Well, and there's ways to get around it too. You can absolutely. You can stay a little late. You can be there first thing in the morning.
Yes.
You can avoid it a little bit, but there's definitely a lot of people.
Don't go in the middle of the summer.
Right. Oh.
Don't do that.
And don't go at Christmas time. And don't go at New Year's. And don't go on President's Day. And don't
don't go on any holidays.
Yeah.
For the most part.
But yeah, I think a lot of people, the people who I've kind of come across who have had a negative feeling about Disney and the parks, mm-hmm. in particular, is a lot of the folks who have never been until they were adults, mm-hmm. and they get there and then, you know, your head is kind of in that space of, oh my God, this is so expensive. And,
truth.
You know, there's so many people and I've got to wait so much time to get in line. And, mm-hmm. and I always feel bad about the people who have really short amount of time that they can be there.
Yes.
And they've spent a ton of money and they, you know, you've only got 2 or 3 days, if that,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to cram it all mm-hmm. in. It is not a magical experience mm-hmm. at all.
It's hectic.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. I think that makes you feel a little icky about the whole thing. If you, mm-hmm. you know, you just don't get that feeling.
So same question back to you.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Pardon me. I cough. Your favorite park?
My favorite park. That's really hard too. I mean, Magic Kingdom is always going to be magical mm-hmm. and kid-like. And I think now though, and we will totally talk about Star Wars, mm-hmm. but I am such a dork and mm-hmm. I just love Hollywood Studios for all of the Star mm-hmm. Wars stuff. It's so fun. It's like
yes.
6-year-old me can just go and pretend like she's in Star Wars and okay. walk around and make my own lightsaber and do all the things like
yes
you know.
So this is a good kind of transition in terms of our conversation, because we're talking about like the Disney parks nostalgia relevance mm-hmm. for people who went or read about or heard about from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Favorite rides that are sort of from our childhood era.
Like the 70s and 80s, favorite rides. Big fan of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Okay.
And it is no longer at Magic Kingdom. It's super sad that it doesn't exist there. It is in Disneyland. They still have Mr. Toad's at Disneyland. So if I want to ride that, I have to get to California and do that.
Just get your ass to California.
Take myself to California.
No problem.
Just hop on a plane.
Go any get myself some
Mr.
Week.
Toad. Love that ride, though. That was, as a kid, that was one of my faves. And then I think, like, Snow White's Scary Adventures, that one also not in Magic Kingdom, only in Disneyland.
Wow. Okay.
And Peter Pan. Probably Peter Pan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Peter Pan is awesome, right?
Yeah.
No Small World then, huh?
Not, no.
I know we already talked about that.
I think if I'm going to pick, it's going to probably be either the Mr. Toad, Peter Pan, Haunted Mansion. Those are kind of the biggies for me. So, but not Small World as much. I love it, and I have to do it every time I'm there. It's a great air-conditioned ride.
you can sit in a big boat.
Yeah, I get a few minutes of calm, quiet, you know, zen out in the air conditioning. And there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, I think I've got other ones besides that. How about you?
Ride that's not there anymore, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, fun.
Absolutely obsessed. Also because I wanted to be a marine biologist and I loved the water and being underwater. This is an interesting thing. So I'm just going to side into the group a little bit. We actually read all the questions for Gen X Women Are Sick of Your Shit. Like, you have to answer questions to get in. It's a private group. And many, I mean, I am astonished by the number of women of our generation who were going to be marine biologists.
Yeah.
Marine biologists, veterinarians.
Lots of veterinarians.
Massive.
A lot of lawyers, too, but it seems like definitely a lot of animal loving folks. Yeah.
And I wonder about, because that was my affinity for 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and the movie and the book and all the things because of the water, but I just wonder why.
Like,
I also remember learning a ton about Jacques Cousteau.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure.
I don't know if there was like a bunch of Nova episodes where this was happening. Like, they were talking about Jacques Cousteau and going underwater and saving fish or penguins or
manatees or whatever.
I mean, there's the dolphin thing. Like,
yeah,
beautiful, majestic, getting to see dolphins. That was really cool. But so many people wanted to be marine biologists.
Yeah, I don't know. That's wild. I've noticed that too. And a lot of vets, for sure. And then I wonder, you know, is Disney a reason for that? We all grew up with all this Disney stuff, and there's lots of animals and lots
of, you know, all the things, absolutely. Right? So try not to go into film too much, but the
because we're going to talk about that later. We'll talk about Disney films and
influence and on us and culture and all of that. But the other sort of experience at Disney that I love that does still exist, thank goodness, is the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse.
It's so awesome.
I loved that movie as a child.
People don't ever go up there either. You barely ever see anybody up there. And I have to go too.
Absolutely, every time. And caveat, absolutely know that there are problems with that story. There, racism, there's all kinds of things.
It's also completely not accessible as a ride.
Absolutely.
If we talk about accessibility, that one you cannot get to.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the things that I loved about Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse, though, were largely related to, like, the mechanics of all of the stuff.
Yeah.
Right, like, so cool. How they got water places, the platform bedrooms, the like skylight, how they reused parts of the ship to create their living spaces.
Right, the steering wheels there.
That was magical to me. And so that creative part of that is
I guess it's not a steering wheel, is it, on a ship?
Yeah, it is.
What else? Wheel? I don't know.
There is no. We have tried to figure this out. What do they call the steering wheel of the ship? It's just the wheel of the ship.
It's just the wheel. I feel like it needs to have a better name than that.
It should. Huh. We've talked about this in our Dungeons & Dragons game. We tried to figure it out because we have a small one that we bring out. Also, not on topic. However, ties into magic and whimsy and joy and what we appreciate about the parks.
It's called the helm.
It's just the wheel helm. Is called the helm?
Or is that where you stand?
The helm of the ship is the front.
The steering wheel, or rather the equipment which controls the direction of the boat or ships is heading, is called the helm.
But so there's not a separate name for this part?
The helm.
It's just the helm of a ship.
You can call it the steering wheel if it makes you feel better.
No, not really, because that feels very contemporary. Like, that's part of a car.
Well, then call it the helm.
This is the part of Gen X Women Are Sick of the Shit where we get into an argument with our producer about...
It feels like it should be cooler. Like...
It is cool.
The ship,
the helm steerer, is pretty cool.
The helm is cool. Okay.
Take the helm, Ms. Meyer.
Ooh. Well, just that's a signal to get back on track. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Leslie.
We've been talking a lot about magic today on this episode. So much magic. Talking about the magic of Disney. And today, our show sponsor also has a lot to say about magic.
All about magic.
We're talking about The Rosecraft, your local witch shop. If you think there's more to life than the drab day-to-day, listen up, because you're about to find your people.
In 2020, two local Indianapolis women set out to open their dream shop. As little girls and teenagers, they were enchanted by mystical, metaphysical stores. You know, the smell of incense as you walk in the door, the dimly lit corners where you browse books on spells and potions. A new delight as you turn every corner. The Rosecraft is your local witch shop. It's a welcoming place for beginners, for experienced practitioners, or maybe that person who just likes collecting rocks. If you're even the tiniest bit curious, you'll be welcomed with open arms, open minds, and mindful conversations.
So I've picked up a lot of rocks from the Rosecraft.
Oh yeah?
Yes, and they are beautiful.
I love crystals.
I do too. I have them in my office. And I put them around the room in the different color. Like, people just are attracted to either the different colors or the shapes or the textures. Even if they're not into crystals or don't know anything about paganism, people apply their own meaning to things symbolically when they're in their space. So I find that in my practice, that is like a really important kind of grounding thing. And it's good for me too, just to like have them there. I kind of reorganize them in my office from time to time. And Danielle and Cassie are two of the coolest people you will ever meet. They are so thoughtful about the work that they do, and they put so much intention behind each product that they pick for their store. I have enjoyed watching them develop this business, and they have a combined 20 years of experience in their field. They're focused on quality over quantity. Like I said, they hand select every item in their shop, from crystals to loose herbs to incense to tarot decks, journals, altar supplies, books, so much more. You will find it at the Rosecraft. They work with local makers to bring a variety of intentional products. Their latest collaboration is an exclusive line of incense celebrating the Wheel of the Year.
I love it.
You can shop the Rosecraft online, which is super cool. And they are offering right now free shipping on orders of $60 or more. If you're local to Indianapolis and you happen to hear this, you can find the Rosecraft and Cassie and Danielle at local vendor markets all around the city. They also have a permanent display at Market Vintage in Irvington, which I think is really cool.
Absolutely. So you can find the Rosecraft at therosecraft.com. That's therosecraft.com. We should tell people too, like, one of the that you and I and producer Tim and your family and my family happened to cross each other at Disney.
Oh, that's true.
Like 2016, right?
Okay, yeah. So this is 2024.
Yeah.
So that's 8 years ago. Yeah. I think correctly. 8 years ago, you and I were crossing paths there at the same time,
right?
For a day.
Yep.
I think.
In Epcot. I think we hung out in Epcot, right?
We did. We got to go to dinner. We had sushi.
Right.
Here you go.
Right.
And rode a bunch of rides. Went back and saw the fireworks.
Yeah.
At your place. That was super fun. And then did this like last minute last 30 minutes of the park being open, late night dash
yep.
through the three big roller coasters. And my kids thought you were the coolest adult ever. They were like, Mom, Megan just went. Like, she just did it. And then, like, we were hauling ass to get all of the – and you knew exactly where everything was. And to them, that was magical.
So well, I took my niece and my nephew to their first trip to Disney earlier this year, like, mm-hmm. right in January. And this is a case where, you know, if you've not been there when you were a kid, mm-hmm. when you're little –
sure.
Then maybe you don't get it as much. And I told him the whole time, I'm like, look, guys, we got 5 days. We got a lot to get done. So it was getting up early in the morning and it was go, go, go. And they were, mm-hmm. There was a little bit of eye rolling. And then by like day two or so, they sort of like understood that maybe Aunt Megan knew what the hell she was talking about. We got everything done.
That's freaking
so ridiculous.
So for you and I personally, when we were talking about this, we were and considering it as like a topic of conversation, like why would we talk about this today? For both of us, there were really personal stories and personal yeah. memories. And so even though Disney for many is a joy-filled topic, it's also kind of bittersweet. And
yeah, it can be.
Some of our conversation might be a little bittersweet today. For you, what is your earliest child memory of Disney? Do you have an early child memory of Disney?
I think just going with my grandparents was a big childhood memory.
Oh, of course, yes.
I did, admittedly, again, I went a lot. A lot. So there's this moment of walking into the Magic Kingdom and looking down Main Street and mm-hmm. seeing the castle. And I've got little traditions that I do. So when I leave, I have to like turn around and say goodbye to the castle. And I have to, you know, there's all this stuff that kind of comes along with growing up and going to the parks a lot. Mm-hmm. And I've only been to Disneyland a couple of times, mm-hmm. but noticing the little differences between the different parks and mm-hmm. how different like the Magic or the Haunted Mansion is and mm-hmm. how different Pirates of the Caribbean is and yes. stuff like that. So I'm just a big nerd when it comes to those parks and those mm-hmm. places, and I think they're great. And we travel now with my family and some good friends of ours and their family. We've been going for years and years together. Mm. And the last time we went, there were, I think, 15 of us total.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, we just kind of go in and take over the place. Ridiculous.
That you guys
yeah.
can do that together and yeah. spend all that time.
Super fun. So,
that community. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but one trip kind of blurs with the other, you know, as mm-hmm. you go to a lot of times.
Okay.
But I think just in general, it's just a warm, happy, fuzzy place for me mm-hmm. Where I get to go and do those things that are important, like play.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think part of the reason that this episode came up for us too is we were brainstorming about it and you looked at me and you said, well, what's your first memory of Disney?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
no, oh, I did.
And I was like, oh, we went because my mom was dying.
Yeah. You ever have one of those moments where you say something and then you're like, ooh, wish I could get that back?
Oh, don't ever think that. Not ever. I mean, another part of the group, I think this came up like in a thread where I was chatting with somebody and they threw out, unprompted, not knowing my own story, if you ever want to talk to somebody about like being in the Dead Moms Club, let me know. And I was like, I'm in the Dead Moms Club. Let's talk about it. So I hope that we're able to like make that connection in the future and have this conversation. But I mean, I guess we could make this transition now.
Sure, we can.
So we went, well, here, I can just tell you, because I have a book, Walt Disney's Epcot Center, Creating the World of Tomorrow, sitting right here on my little lap. And it was given... It was printed in 1982, so the park must have opened in 1982.
Right, it did, yeah.
Okay, so it was given to my grandmother in 1983. So the reason, dear listeners, that we were in Epcot was my mom had cancer, and it was the 80s, and this is like super relevant to our generation. My mom had been a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
There was a massive increase in the diagnosis of lung cancer in the 80s. I imagine lots of people had lung cancer before that, but right. It was big tobacco wars, that sort of campaign suppression of information had happened. I don't know if the court stuff was happening at the same time. Whatever. So she had lung cancer, and like you do when you're dealing with the possibility of death and dying, which we as mid-century human beings are dealing with.
It'll happen. It's going to happen to everyone.
And thinking about our parents, right? This is an inevitable thing. What did we do? We took a 3-week family vacation.
I think that's exactly what you do.
We packed it all up. But nobody really – so this is the part that feels super Gen X to me. I think now we would say – we would kind of acknowledge the thing that was happening. Like we would talk about like, oh, you know,
mom's sick.
Treatment, yep. All this stuff. But we want to make memories and this is important. And it's not because we think mom's going to die. P.S. She died. I mean – premise, Dead Moms Club, but that we want to build memories together. Right. Then, no explanation.
We're just taking a 3-week long vacation.
We were just pulled out of, we didn't go to school.
Yoinked out of school and.
Whole family, my aunt, you know, like my grandmother, like we're on this 3-week family vacation. We go for a week in Orlando.
And did you know?
I absolutely knew she was sick.
Okay.
And like that got. God, this feels Gen X too. Round the bend. That was disclosed to me on my way back home from Girl Scout camp.
Oh.
I had gone away.
Oh.
No, this is relevant. Here we go.
Wow.
I had gone away for a 2-week theater camp, grease paint, Girl Scout camp. And there you go. They picked me up at the end of my trip and on the car ride home to get my big bag because it was my first like food that was not made at camp.
Sure.
They're like, and by the by, but BT dubs. So mom has cancer. She's going through treatment. And I was like 10. Okay.
Right. Like, cool. I don't know how to process any of that or what that means.
Absolutely. Right. Never talked about again. As far as my child memory.
Wow.
So then the next, so that was in August. That seems
about right. I mean, really, it totally like, we're just going to say it once and it's just going to.
One and done.
Yep.
And then in September, we went on a 3-week vacation. So there you go. What do you do? So we went to the park and it was magical. So we had most of our time was spent in Epcot. And that was where like the ball and going up into the ride. And I remember the land. Mm-hmm. That being insanely cool.
Oh, my grandma. That was my grandmother's favorite.
Was it really?
Yeah. And every time I walk in there, every single time, I'm like, I kind of give a little acknowledgement. I feel like if she's a spirit floating around, she's probably hanging out at the land.
Would and totally so it's be kinda, there.
Yeah.
So my mom would be haunting the monorails.
Oh, okay. All right.
She would hang out.
Por favor.
Because it had just.
It's Alejandra's.
Yeah. Open.
So great.
Because it was so magical and she loved science. She loved technology. She kind of drove that in our household. She loved video games, like all this stuff. We would stay at the park until the bitter end every single night. And we would be the last car in the parking lot because I don't know how long we were there, 3 or 4 days, whatever. It felt like a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be ushered on to the monorails. They were like, get the fuck out. And they would let us ride in the front car. And we would just chat with there was a driver.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are. Okay.
Yep.
So there was a driver and we would just hang out because there are seats up there. You can sit up there and like watch the whole thing. And I remember that being magic
and her
like
loving
really
that.
Cool that like, I don't, that must have been, like she did something cool or special to like have that happen.
Right.
I think she was just like, persistent and we were the last people and they probably didn't have much
and she probably
choice.
Did that she probably like stalled right just so that she could be the last person.
It was crazy. And that makes me cry. We're not going to talk about that.
Aww.
But just like you know that she probably knew.
Yeah.
Ugh, Lord have mercy. All right, y'all, we cry on this show that like this was one of her last experiences. So
yeah,
of course she stayed.
Yeah, she's gonna stay to the very very end.
Absolutely.
Be the last person out of the park.
And as kids, I can't speak for my brother, but for myself that was total magic.
Yeah.
And that's what I think that's what I think Disney brings.
Aww.
To people if they Love that.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know, is that
agreed.
Experience.
And if you've had that experience, if you've had, because there are lots. I mean, there are so many kids who are there and adults who are, who have, you know, medical issues, who, you know, or have been through a trauma or something. And this is their, this is their way of healing, right? Yeah. Or it's their way of building those memories.
Mm-hmm. It's a total gift. Yeah. So you can totally hate it. That's fine.
And your do you gift wonder,
might be something else.
Yeah. Do you wonder, like, did, I mean, did Walt know? You know, I mean, he created these parks for families and created them so that people could make memories. And that was the whole plan all along.
Absolutely.
And he even had a, you know, a little apartment above the firehouse in Disneyland so he could literally stand there and watch it happening.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
And
I wonder if he ever would have known that that would have been a place that people would have taken their families when, you know, when they just knew.
Yeah. I would imagine so. I mean, it takes a lot of bravery and just courage and hope to build something in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and to create magic in the world, whether that's a park like Disney with all of its flaws, right?
There I don't want to sugarcoat it too much because there are problems.
Or a piece of theater or, you know, an immersive experience in nature or a fucking podcast. You
right.
know, like it takes a lot to create and to put yourself out there and to be brave and courageous in that way. And I do think, like, for all of the complaining that we do as Gen X women, talking about menopause and our mid-century life and all of that, we are also uniquely positioned in our generation to be brave and courageous and create community and to choose hope when things are difficult. You know, that comes up in the group sometimes where, you know, I invite people to be curious. You know, don't make assumptions. Ask questions. Be kind.
Right.
And we really mean that.
Absolutely.
You know, it may be hard. You may be hearing something hard. And we're going to get further if we can lean in with some curiosity.
I think that's true across the board, not just in the group, but just in life. You know, we don't know. I mean, take yourself, if you're walking through Disney World and somebody's having a rough time of it. You don't know what they're going through, right?
Absolutely.
And not. And you have to take that moment of kind of, you can be a little bit annoyed, you can roll your eyes or whatever, but you just don't know.
Nope. And good on you for trying.
Yeah.
You know, of course there are exceptions. If somebody's standing there pointing a gun to my face, I'm not going to ask why.
Probably not.
Probably.
Nope. Probably not.
Gonna and if do you're going to karate chop and a kick and
yeah. Do and if you're going to put somebody down in front of me, I'm probably going to jump in and
not going to ask you why right then.
Yep, probably
going to take care of that person first.
That's right.
And then step aside with you and say, sounds like you're having a hard day.
Could you get the gun out of my face, please?
Stop being an asshole.
Just
let's have a conversation about that not very nice thing that you just said. Now is the time for one of my favorite segments on our pod.
What is that?
5 minutes of fame.
Five minutes of fame.
We should probably have like some really cool music and some freaking laser beams in this
section. Yes. Oh God, can we? Laser beams?
Freaking laser beams.
I think that would probably upset our sound a little bit. Oh. We'd have like all kinds of feedback and weird stuff happening.
Producer
and
then Tim would be mad.
Producer Tim would have a probably problem with
more
that.
Mad than usual.
I don't want that.
He might actually shoot Nerf guns at us. He keeps threatening.
It's gonna happen.
Nerf gun.
It's gonna happen.
This is a taunt.
All right, so 5 minutes of fame.
Yes.
What do you have this week, Leslie?
I thought about this as we were planning for today's episode at the very last minute and thought I should put a request out in the group to see if anybody has a story for us.
Cool.
And lo and behold, Leanne responded. She brought the goods and she talks about her very first, oh God, you know, trifocals.
We could talk about how we're sick about those sometime if you want to.
I say, her very first trip to Disney was as a mom with two kids. And she was looking around like a tourist, like you do, because there like is so much to see. When you, and if you have never been, sensory overload. I mean,
big time.
Absolutely.
Big time.
And right in the middle of Main Street, a man walked up to her, her husband, and the kids, her ex. She does not specifically say it was her husband. And their kids, and asked if they all wanted to be on Cinderella's stage with all of the characters for a show.
Oh, which wow. That's cool.
So cool. She says the entire state of Florida heard her squeal. And they did. They did it. They were shown as representing Jackson, Mississippi. This was like the second week of March in 1998. A very happy memory
that
for them.
That is so cool. Those memories like that, that little, that's all part of that Disney magic, right? That
you have.
And, yes. Oh, so cool.
And she even says that this was their very first day. So the magic of the moment really blew them all away. That's like, so what fun. A special thing. And I think that that is one of the reasons that Disney is important to both of us is just the memories that were made there.
Well, and my little 5 minutes of fame, similar, super similar. Mm-hmm. This one, so my daughter, her first trip, and I've been to Disney many, many times, mm-hmm. and had been to Disney many, many times before my daughter went on her first trip, but she was 3 years old.
Oh.
And she had a little My First Trip to Disney t-shirt on. Oh, it was super cute.
Adorable.
Yes. And little pigtails and the whole bit. And we decided we were going to watch the Electro Magic Parade. So it was mm-hmm. like back when they had that still. Mm-hmm. And it's come and gone back and forth a few times. But at that time, we, you know, you got in you got not in line necessarily, but you just sort of like pushed your way to a point where you could sit on the curb, mm-hmm. like right mm-hmm. in front of, you know, all the shops on Main Street.
Yeah.
And so we found ourselves a little spot and we're sitting on the curb, and Gillian got in the middle of the street and started dancing, and she's twirling around, just having a great time like you do when you're 3 years old and you're mm-hmm. in Disney. And a guy came over and tapped her on the shoulder and said, Minnie Mouse would like your help. And I immediately started crying, and my mother-in-law is crying, and we're all just like, what is happening? And the guy handed my daughter a magic wand mm-hmm. and said, when we tell you, will you wave the wand really, really hard and start the parade for us? And, you know, Gillian just is like, I don't know who you are. Why are you handing me this
strange man with a wand?
Okay, strange guy. And I'm like, no, it's okay, Gillian. You mm-hmm. can take the wand.
Smart girl.
Right, right.
So situational awareness. Exactly. Very important.
And she, you know, they gave her the little countdown. She waved the hell out of that wand. All the lights in the park go out and the parade starts, like the electromagic lights come on.
Oh my gosh.
It was so freaking cool. And then they throw this big handful of like Mickey shaped glitter everywhere. And so I have, and I'm standing on the street picking up little pieces of glitter so I can keep them forever and ever.
Like you do.
Like you do. So ridiculous.
It'll be in her memory box when she's like 50. She'll be like,
what the hell?
What is this glitter for, mother? What am I supposed to do with this shit?
Hold on to that forever.
Yes. I have a box of all my mom's stuff. I'm like, what do I? This is like your high school notebooks.
Right.
Wonderful archival material. I'm actually really grateful that I have it. And yet, it is a box of things.
Glitter shit in your house.
Yes.
Yep. Here, Gillian, here's your first haircut, a little snip of your hair. And
here's your tooth.
Here's some teeth.
Here's some broken.
some broken ground teeth. Ground glitter for Mickey.
So disturbing that we keep these things.
Oh, I have all of Gillian's teeth.
We're going to clone you. I don't know. There's no clonable material in there, right? Because all the flesh is gone. So it's just
I don't know. It's there's probably something bone. In there.
Should I give it know. A scrape? Let's clone our kids. I mean, do we want to do that, though?
She's great, but I don't think I want another one just like her.
I just like the ones that I have. They're my favorite ones. Well, I don't need new copies.
Presumably, you'd have to like raise them again.
Oh.
And that's not going to happen.
They would have to come out fully formed, like adults where they are. But then you'd have to do all that teaching. We've really lost the thread here. But that's okay.
It is. But anyway,
that's what the story was about.
It's about Disney.
It is about Disney and the joy that it can bring to people.
And we should probably preface all of this by saying we get that Disney is not for everybody.
Oh, heck yeah. Absolutely.
It is not for everybody. There are people who absolutely hate it. I get it. I totally get it. Well, yes. I mean, I get that it's totally cool that you hate it.
Yes.
I don't, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's I mean, that's fine. Like, there are people, because we're close to Cincinnati, Ohio, there are people who are fanatical about Kings Island. I do not like Kings Island.
I don't really care for it either.
I don't really go there. I did a couple times, probably once in high school. I think I went once in college, maybe a couple more times in there. Not my jam. We all have things that we like.
Yeah, there are folks who absolutely think that Universal Studios is 1,000 times better than Disney.
Yes.
Totally fine.
Yes.
Yep.
I actually haven't been there yet, but I'm going to go.
The Harry Potter stuff is really cool.
This is what I've heard.
Yeah,
it's like very, very cool. That. You have been listening to Gen X Women Are Sick of This Shit. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Leslie.
What do people do if they want to find us?
Well, we have a website that people can find us on, and that is genxwomenpod.com. We also have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram account as well. Mm-hmm. We have a YouTube account where we put YouTube shorts and other little tidbits up there. We have a TikTok account.
I don't talk the tick or tick the talk.
You don't tick the talk?
I
barely talk the tick, but I did put a TikTok up.
We're explaining the internet to people again.
That's okay, though. It's great.
We need to know how the internet works. Can people buy merch?
They absolutely can. We have a merch store on the website itself, and we also have an Etsy store, too, so which is pretty easy to find. It's just Gen X Women on Etsy.
And if you are listening to this podcast, presumably you found it somewhere, and while you're there, give us a review.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think.
Throw some stars at us.
That'd be great. We'll take 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
Ooh, 5.
Maybe
10. And also make sure that you are hitting subscribe so that you're notified whenever a new episode drops.
Most important.
We also have a 5 minutes of fame that I think we should tell people about, too.
Hell yes. We want to know your stories, your 5 minutes of fame stories. You can send those stories in on the website, or you can call 1-888-GEN-X-POD and leave your story for us, and we will play it live in our next episode, or 2 or 3.
We'll listen to it on a little red phone, just like Batman.
That'd be cool. Let's get a bat phone.
A bat phone.
I think that's it.
I think you're right.